reading to you from 1 Peter, with the first chapter, with the sixth verse. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And oh, I've been enjoying it. I've had so many ups and downs. I've had health problems. I've had financial problems. I've had all that. But isn't that encouraging? He said that he was with us, and our faith is much more precious than the gold that perisheth. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers and just sit back and relax? Maybe you ought to have some hot chocolate tonight. Hot chocolate or maybe a cup of coffee. Some of you people would like some iced tea. You know, it's snowing back here. Woo! We got tons of snow. Okay, let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Philippians, the book of Philippians, and let's look at the first chapter, and let's look at the third verse. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. You know, Paul, oh, listen. Let me read that third verse. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Dear friends, let me tell you, the joy of a soul winner is to hear from people that you had the privilege of introducing to Christ over the years. I recall one time I got a phone call from South Carolina, and this young man said, you know what? Are you the Cecil Moe that used to be at the mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota? I said, is I? He said, well, I just heard your broadcast tape, Unshackled, on Honest Radio Broadcast Station. I said, well, how'd you get a hold of me? He said, I called Chicago, and they gave me your phone number. Well, you know, he only lived 3 weeks after we talked. He had Lou Gehrig's disease. But my dear friends, I want you to know that man meant so much to me. I introduced him and his wife to Christ. They were in a virgin divorce. Today their daughter is a missionary down in Africa, and he's in heaven. Oh, what a joy. What a joy to remember him and many, many other hundreds of people that I've been privileged to introduce. And friends, it is a privilege. I don't win souls. I introduce souls to Christ. But it is a privilege, and Paul knew it. Paul's tender relationship with the Christians at Philippi, he thanked God every time he thought of them, and I'm sure he thought of them many, many times. We could use that kind of love today in Christianity. We could use that love. Oh, yes, we could. But, you know, we get old and we get selfish. Friends, there's no room in Christianity for selfish hearts. I don't mean just your pocketbook. I mean your hearts. I was talking to a dear friend of mine who is a very giving person. He has helped support my ministry over the years. But what I like about him is he'll go down and he'll see somebody on Skid Row and he'll take them in and buy their meal. Now, that's the kind of Christianity that God likes. Remember what he said? He that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord. How it pleases. You say, well, Cecil, can I use my tithe money on it? Well, I don't see why not. Oh, I know preachers say you got to bring it to the church house, but and you should. Now, I'm not knocking that, but you can use money like that. That could be above your tithe if you want. But hell, this Christmas, please help somebody. You don't have to give them $1 million. Do you know what I remember when I had my lung tumor going to college in Riverside, California, that they brought us a turkey, the Air Force. And I didn't go out begging for it. They heard about me and my family, and I had this lung tumor, and they brought us turkey, they brought us ham, and they brought presents for all of my little children. Yes, and they even gave money to us, and you know what? We were flat broke. My wife didn't have soap to wash her dishes. Oh, listen, friends, we know what that's about. But you know what? We used that in the years later when I come here to Denver, where every year my ministry gave out tons of groceries to needy families. Sometimes it was the prisoners' families. At the time, it was just ordinary poor people. But it's a joy. Oh, friends, it does something for you. Try it. It really works. Being kind. You know what? Let me ask you. Have you ever walked into a store and or a post office, and this guy or gal kind of frowning, looking down in the dumps? Have you ever given him a good smile and say, you know, wonderful day that God has made? You would be surprised what that does for people. Paul, he thanked thought of him, he'd think of him and he'd pray for him. We could use that today in our ministry. Wrong relationships flourish in many churches today, I'll guarantee you. People who cannot forgive, little groups gather and grumble, and the church becomes powerless because of the lack of love. Now, here's some lessons from Paul's statement of thanksgiving. There is a value in remembering. Now, he said that in the third verse again. I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you. God has made us with the ability to remember. Have you ever heard a preacher on the radio or television or even in church, and this man came up with a verse of scripture that absolutely he misquoted it, and you think, wow. Well, then the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth and the verse of scripture that we need. If you follow the book, you won't go wrong. Now, remember, he said in Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator. Do you know who made us? God made us. We ought to remember that. Just think, he just spoke the word and everything applied and just popped up. All the earth, he made the water. He made the heavens. And he made man out of the dust of earth. And then he took the rib from Adam and made a woman. And I heard one preacher there saying, we haven't got over our trouble since. No, that wasn't right. You remember Lot's wife? Now, she was disobedient. Had she listened to God, she wouldn't have looked back. She wouldn't be a pillar of salt today. And if Eve had listened to the Lord instead of Satan and not partaken of the fruit, we wouldn't be having thorns on our roses. We wouldn't have the sin problems we have. Jesus wouldn't have had to die had she been obedient. But see, the devil always makes us try to doubt the word of God. I was talking to another good friend of mine the other day. He said, you know, my brother, he said, you know, I'm not worried about going to hell. And he said, no. He said, no, because I don't believe there's a hell. And this friend said, oh, but there is a hell. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Whether he believes in heaven or hell, he's still going to go there. And, I remember my mom used to, see, we lived so far out in the country, we didn't have churches out in the country. We always had them in town. But my mom used to take a great big old family Bible. I still have it here in my studio. And she'd sit down and she'd read to my sister and I and tell us about Jesus. She come from the old line of Methodists, you know, that believed in salvation. They believed that you had to be born again. Now, I can't say that is true today in every Methodist church. My sister's Methodist church in Eureka, California didn't teach salvation. I preached in that church. And that poor preacher sweat. Oh, he sweat. I don't know what he thought I was going to do. I didn't go in there and try to make a monkey of him. I tried to preach the truth. And remember in Revelation said, remember from whence thou art falling. Paul remembers Philippi. Oh, listen, what happened there? Well, a little group by a river and Lydia's conversion. Look at the Philippian jailer. My stars. And remember high points in your Christian life. Well, let's take the first one, the day you were converted to Christ. Oh, listen, friends, how I love to tell that story. And every time I don't go through a service that I don't share, that one day I was lost in sin and I found Jesus, or should I say he found me. He led me to a man of God. He knew that preacher wouldn't talk to me about joining his church. He wouldn't talk to me about bringing my money to the church or getting baptized. He would talk to me about my lost condition. Friends, listen. You know what someone once said? This is not original. You got to get them lost before you can get them saved. And who tells you that you're lost? The Holy Spirit. When he draws your heart. Now listen, friends, listen very carefully. Tonight, if you're unsaved and you're listening to this broadcast and the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart and you say, I don't believe it, I'm not going to do it, I turn it off, turn the radio off. Well, did you know the next time that the Holy Spirit draws your heart, it's going to be a little harder for you to come to Jesus? And then the Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man, whereby man must be saved. Did you know that? He's not always going to strive with you. Today, Jesus said, is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Nobody does. Hey, I'll tell you right now, Kansas City didn't expect that big ice storm, big snowstorm, but they got it. We didn't expect this big snowstorm here in Denver, but we got it. And the mountains are rejoicing. Why? Because those old skiers up there going down that hill. Boy, I tell you. Well, how about the time you fully surrendered to the Lord? Was there ever a better day? You know, I remember, and I tell you this quite often, the day that God called me to preach, it was as real. Who'd have thought that Cecil Moe would be a preacher? A man that goes up on a roof and bangs on shingles and puts on siding and carpentering. You'd think God could use a person like that? Well, didn't Jesus work in his dad's carpenter shop? Yeah, he did. See, there's a value in remembering positive things about others. Every remembrance of you. Was the church at Philippi perfect? No. There is no perfect church on this earth. No, there's no perfect pastor. I know people look up to you preachers and, oh, they say nice things. Well, they're not perfect. Boy, and this one's not perfect, speaking tonight. Paul refused to dwell on the negative about these people. We were their gossips there? Well, probably. Was there troublemakers there? Probably. But Paul did not focus on these negative characteristics. Paul thought about those who were faithful.
Some cared and shared. Some gave sacrificially. Some witnessed fervently. Paul remembered these. What do you think about when you think of this church? Are you thankful of some? You see the value of expressing appreciation to those we love. Paul wasn't just thankful. He told them so. Let me ask you a question. This might sound like a trite question. When was the last time you told God you really loved him? You say, oh, Cecil, I can't do that. Well, I would hope you would. I hope you do love him. Because, you know, he did something. He died for you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What good is appreciation if it is never expressed? You know what? You have a friend. You love that friend. And you never talk to them and tell them how much you love them or this, and they die. But you'll spend $150 on a big bouquet of flowers. Why not smell the roses here on earth while we're alive? Like love, appreciation must be spoken and expressed. Listen, letters to be written, calls to be made, people to see. You know, I told you, you've heard me speak about my good friend Bill Elton, his wife and the Dalles. You know, once in a while I'll get on the phone and I'll call him and we start rejoicing in the Lord. See, Bill knew me when I was in bad shape. But now we're both on the same page. We both know Jesus. Him and his wife pray for me every morning. I pray for them every morning. I love them because they are my Christian brothers and sisters. Oh, remember those who have done something for you. Call them. Tell them you appreciate them. I was speaking at a big church not too long ago, and I gave the invitation. Several people came forward, and then I stopped them. I said, when was the last time, excuse me, that you told your pastor you loved him and thanked him for talking to you about Jesus and for the messages he brought from on high? I don't know how many people come up and hug their pastor's neck. See, that'll bring revival. Remembering things together. For whom are you thankful? And Paul said, I thank God for you. And how I thank God for all of you who pray for me and my ministry. I sure feel your prayers daily. You know, when we go to prison, I can honestly feel the power from on high. It's not my power, it's God's power. But it's people who pray for us. People hold us up daily. Oh, you don't think I don't appreciate that? I couldn't operate without it. Billy Graham said the reason I'm successful is for the millions of people who pray for me. I pray for old Billy Graham every day. Sure do, have been for eon years. Oh, my stars. There's a lot of preachers jealous of Billy Graham. I don't know why. Just because God is using him. And you know the reason God's using him? Because he's a humble man of God. And he gives God the credit and the praise and the glory for all things that have happened in his life. I thank God for men like Billy Graham. And I thank God for, I had a privilege of hearing Billy Sunday preach when I was a young boy. And there was D.L. Moody and all these great preachers. D.L. Moody was just a stock boy in a shoe store. My stars, God used that man in such a great way. You know what? God wants to use you. What? You mean, come on, Cecil. Let's get real. I am real. God wants to use you. And whoever he calls, he uses. And you say, well, Cecil, again, I have to tell you, I'll have to plead ignorance. I don't know much about the Bible, and I don't have a great education. Well, here's the, it don't make a difference. Are you available? Now, if you know John 3:16 and you're born again, you got enough to get out there and win the world for Jesus. Sure do. Well, friends, listen. Tonight, you might be sitting there and saying, well, you know, Cecil, you're right. I do have to be thankful for all the people that have been good to me through my life and ministry. The thing that I couldn't understand is after I was saved, that church took my wife and I in, knowing I was a town drunk, and took me in like we were long-lost brothers. Well, I was a long-lost brother. I was a prodigal. But I found Jesus, and they embraced me and my wife and kids. I will never forget that church. I've had the privilege of preaching there several times in Seattle. Some of the old people are still there, my age, up in the 80s. Well, friends, let me ask this. Are you preparing for the new year? It don't do good to make a lot of promises to God. You'll quit smoking or you'll quit doing this. But I tell you what, he likes to hear. Lord, will you help me to be what I'm supposed to be? Help me to have the strength and the power to be a witness and be a soul winner for Jesus. If you've done that, then you tell him so. But most of all tonight, if you're listening to the broadcast and you don't know Jesus, you're lost, doomed, and damned, and on the road to hell. But God doesn't want you to go to hell. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he said. Well, tonight you say, well, Cecil, I'll tell you what. I'm convinced that my life is not right. And I know that I got to do something about it. Well, why don't you do it tonight? This would be the wonderful time. If the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head right now. And oh, beloved, please don't pray this unless you really mean it. Now, here's the prayer that can change your life for time and eternity. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins, so sorry for what I've done to you. Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. 303-471-8534. Oh, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church, beloved. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. That phone number is 303-471-8534. If you feel I can help you spiritually, you got a question, ask me. If I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you and let you know. Sure will. I don't know everything. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But I know Jesus. Ha ha. That's the most important thing I've ever known in my life. Well, friends, I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
Every day now I'm learning to live.
Every day now
I'm learning to live. Learning to live. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you, folks, for listening. Continue to pray for me, my wife, and my quartet in our ministry. Pray for one another. Oh, friends, you know, Christmas is not the only time to give. Christmas is part of it, but we ought to give all through 12 months of the year to people. You say, Cecil, that's all right for people like you who have a lot of money. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. My wife and I live on Social Security. We're so thankful for it. We haven't missed a meal. I'm still able to make my payments. I've got no complaint. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.